Parts integration, a key skill for NLP practitioners. This is useful, if not essential skill that we all need to develop. Now, the concept of parts came from Virginia Satir, but you can hear it in our English language as well. You know, when someone says, part of me wants to do that, but part of me doesn't, or I'm in two minds about it, or on one hand, I want this, and on the other hand, I want something else. So when that happens, it's like part of us has separated. And sometimes parts of us separate, or perhaps as children, we're told that we shouldn't do X or we shouldn't feel X. So we might actually kind of like disown a part of us and sometimes lock it away in a dark space and forget about it and actually go on life and forget that we had that part down there. So the parts integration is sometimes something that we do for a very clear thing, you know, I'm in one mind, but it's also something we do as part of other processes. It often comes up and we use it for a lot of other processes as well, which is simply a matter of integrating the part, integrating the old part, integrating the part that was locked away and forgotten, perhaps integrating a part of us that might be sad, angry. And some of these parts, you know, they could actually be great resources, but they've been locked away. And it could also simply be done when part of us wants university and part of us wants a different college. Okay, now, in order to do the parts integration, it is important that we are in good rapport with our client. Trance is really useful and helpful. It's great to be in a relaxed space. We can do it fast and conversationally as well. However, if we're going to do a trancey, it goes a little something like this. One, get in good rapport with the client. Relax. Identify the conflict and the parts involved. Have the part which represents the unwanted state or the problem behavior, have it come out in one hand first. Step two, elicit the opposite or the flip side of the coin to come out on the other hand. Let's make a VAK image of each part. So, let's say I generally use the left hand for X, the right hand for the opposite, the flip side of the coin. Now, let's make sure that we have a VAK image, so perhaps a little picture of them or a symbol, something that they can see, something that they can hear, because we might want to communicate and talk to that part, and something they can feel. Perhaps you could actually feel the weight. One of my favorite ways, or the first way I did this, and I'll never forget it. On one hand, I had a little me in a blue shirt, singing a Bob Marley song, smoking a joint, being relaxed, saying, hey man, take a walk on the wild side. Don't worry about a thing. And this was on my left hand. And on my right hand, I had this little picture of me like in a academic, like a university gown with a university hat. And it's like, well, part of me just wanted to relax and part of me wanted to go and achieve more. And I had these two parts and they came out of my hand. Because I had this VAK image over there, I can still remember it. And I remember talking to the little rasta man on my left hand and the academic man on my right. Because I had a good VAK image, I was able to communicate with each part, which takes us on to step three. With each part, we want to communicate with it. We want to thank it. Thank you. Perhaps acknowledge that this makes sense on some level. I mean, even if the thing on the hand is like an addiction or something bad, we want to acknowledge that this makes sense on some level. This gets rid of the resistance. Communicate with it. This makes sense. It's kind of like respecting the part, respecting it. And it does. It makes sense on some level. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. So we want to listen to it, communicate with it, let it know we respect it and we're listening. Then we want to ask this part, what is the highest purpose of that? What is the highest purpose of that? I say to the rasta man on my left hand. And we get an answer, like to feel free or to be happy or something. And we repeat the question again, slowly, not like an interrogation. Perhaps a great. Maybe repeat the word and then we ask again. And what is the highest purpose of that? Well, the highest purpose of being happy is that I guess I want to feel love and I want to be all that I can. Okay, great, great. That's wonderful. Feel love and be all that you can. And what's the highest purpose of that? And I chunk up, you know, I'm chunking up and up on the higher purpose. And I get up to a high purpose, which is a bit hard to explain. And says, well, it's just like life, the purpose of being alive. Great, great, the purpose of being alive. And what's the higher purpose of that? I don't know. It's just life. Okay, so here I'm starting to repeat life, and it's like the highest purpose, life and vagueness, and that is generally the highest purpose we get. It'll be something abstract like life. If your client gives you a long answer like a blah 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 blah, just pause them. Say sorry. Just in 3 or 5 words, 5 words or less. Just in 5 words or less. Sorry, I asked a question a bit wrong. Just in 5 words or less, what's the higher purpose for that? So limiting the clients to 5 words or less really get them to focus on something more abstract rather than a long story. So we should get answers like, oh, happiness, maybe blah, 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 blah. Okay, what's the highest purpose of that? Blah, blah, blah. Love? Okay, great, great. What's the highest purpose of love? Blah, blah, blah. And you might get their eyes going up. They're going into an unknown space. Most people here go into an unknown space, especially if it's the first time doing this kind of work. And then comes the answer like life or love or happiness. Okay, great. Okay, so when you're right up there, you know, you might want to repeat it a couple of times, make sure they get it. And that is the highest intention. So that gets you to the highest intention of that left hand. Okay, now we repeat the process with the right hand. So we repeat the purpose, but with the opposite, the flip side of the coin on the right hand. And as we're getting up to the top, keep your eyes on their hands and notice what happens. As they get higher and higher, and as the right hand now is getting higher and higher, the left one might come down a little bit. That's okay. Now, we want to ask them step 4. Do they realize that they both kind of want the same thing? Do they realize that they were both once part of a greater whole? And perhaps with your own hand, we step in to step 5. And this is when we allow the client to have these hands communicate with each other. We might want to talk to them here. We might want to say, you know, does the left hand and the right hand need to communicate anything? You know, do they need to share anything? And bring your hands closer together and then ask the question, I wonder what's about to happen between those two hands. And bring your hands, coach. Coach brings your hands together. So you don't tell the client, but they watch you. They watch your nonverbal. And coach, you bring your hands together. And as you're bringing your hands together, you might like to continue talking to them if they're struggling. Because bringing your hands together is the act of these two parts communicating and integrating. Sometimes their hands will come together. Sometimes they take a while. Step 6. If the hands don't start to move together spontaneously, suggest that they will start negotiating and start working things out only as quickly as the two parts are prepared to work together, to reach out to together, to embrace, merge, and find ways to be. Step 7. Leave enough time for this to happen. The client should be in a good trance state and see the brain processing a lot. And with your hands now together, perhaps bring your hands over your heart. And sometimes hands will come and interlock. Sometimes maybe the left hand or the right hand comes first. And this could be the brain determining, you know, or our conscious or unconscious saying, okay, well, the left hand's going to come first and then the right hand's going to support. Or the right hand's coming first, the left hand is going to support. Or they're both coming in evenly together. Or something like that. And you allow that integration to come in. and allow that to embrace and merge in. So bringing it all into your heart. Step 8, allow the client to bring it all into the heart and let them sit there for as long as they need to reintegrate this with the rest of them. Allow it to reintegrate all through your body. Reintegrating. Kind of like om. Parts integration. Absolutely fantastic. If there's ever a part of you, perhaps a part of you that's judging, or a part of you that's critical, or a part of you that's kind of saboteuring you, or a part of you that doesn't really agree with, it's wonderful to do it with these parts. Now, once these parts are integrated, they're no longer the same. They're no longer the same. They are now different. They have now integrated.